You're right. There we go. We were gone over the last weekend, and we will tell you more about that in a little bit. But I've had a couple of weeks now to prepare this message, and I have spent a lot of time on it, and I still don't feel like it's finished. Which, as Pastor Ben is chuckling over there, he knows what that means. This could go on forever. I just might keep going, but we'll try and kind of rein it in. And what I'm preaching tonight is to encourage you, and I'm not going to share a lot of facts and figures and, you know, biblical stories to do this. I'm trying to present a concept, which I think is part of the most difficult thing of preaching, is trying to get people to understand a new way of thinking about something. So bear with me and don't get lost in the concept. I believe you'll understand what I'm saying by the time I get to the end. So we're going to begin in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Oh, by the way, I forgot my tablet at home. Now, if you know me, I preach from my tablet. And so today I'm preaching from my phone. Lower. So let's read the scriptures. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. This scripture has been preached on an awful lot. I've preached on this scripture an awful lot. You probably have a lot of concepts about what this scripture is all about. And you're probably right. It's got a lot in that one verse. But what I want you to see is, now faith is. All right? I want you to hang on to that phrase. And it is the things hoped for. Things hoped for. And then it talks about the conviction of things not seen. But in verse 2, for by it the men of old gained approval. Or in the New King James Version, it says the elders. So those three phrases pertain to the present, right? Now, faith is. It pertains to the future, that is, things hoped for. And it pertains to the past, talking about those behind us, those who went before us, but they are now elders or have long passed on, but they have laid a foundation for us. So we've got the present, we've got the past, and we have the future. Now let me share a thought with you that I'm going to weave throughout this message. We live our lives mostly entirely in memory and imagination. We live our lives almost entirely in memory and imagination. We'll talk more about that, but let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this night, for this opportunity, once again, to be in the house of the Lord, to be with like-minded believers, to just enjoy the fellowship that we have with the saints and with your Spirit. And we thank you, Lord, for everything that you're doing here. We thank you, Lord, for just a sweet, sweet presence in this church tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you help me make this message clear, that you help it to be an encouragement and a strengthening for the minds and the souls of the people who are here and those who will listen to it, the recorded version. And for all that you are doing and for all that we have experienced in you and for all that we are hoping for, we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So we live our life, especially true, almost entirely in memory and imagination. And this is especially true when we consider the emotional realm of our feelings. Now, some people might say that feelings are not important. In fact, if you've been around me long enough, you've heard me preach that at some point or another, that feelings just aren't that important. And I don't mean that they're not important. What I mean is they are not the end all. That how you feel is not how you should live your life. Our standard is what the Word says, not how we feel. You know, it is a clue to you if someone comes up to you and says, and they have to me, they say, well, I don't feel a loving God would whatever. Okay, right there, they're basing it on how they feel. Don't tell me how you feel a loving God should act. Tell me what the Bible says about that loving God. When they start on the, I don't feel that this is whatever, oftentimes they're operating more out of their feelings. Not all the time, but it's just a little red flag that should go up when people are talking more about their feelings than they are about the Word. All right, so feelings are important, but they're just not, they're not the end all. The Word is what's important. The Word is what we base our lives on. So when I say feelings are not important, yeah, they're not, as long as they're not your feelings, right? when they're your feelings, they're pretty important. I mean, we're not Vulcans, right? We are humans, and feelings matter in our lives. Now, we live our lives almost entirely in memory and imagination. That is, in our perception of the past and our expectation of the future. Follow me along here. Your memory is your perception of the past, and your imagination is your expectation for the future. Now, we think we're living our lives in the moment, right? Like right now, we're living our lives right now. But that's really almost an illusion. I mean, what now? I looked it up. What is now? It's hard to define now. I looked it up and it said, this present moment. Okay. Now is hard to get a handle on. Memory and imagination is where we really live. If you literally live your life in the now, well, then your life has no rhyme or reason to it. It has no connection. And I'll help you understand this as we go along. Remember, I said this is a concept. You're going to have to think your way through this. See, there is no purpose in the now. It's the past and the future that give the now relevance. For example, I'm trying to make this easy. Think about a football game. Anybody here ever see a football game? Yeah. It's kind of a popular thing in the area. Well, you have to have a sense of memory and imagination to enjoy a football game. See, if you just look at it in the now, in the moment, it's just a bunch of goofy guys running around into each other and running after each other. It makes no sense. It's pointless. There's no reason for it. It's just movement without any sense to it. Now, to enjoy the game, you have to have a memory of what happened. And that's why they have a scoreboard. The scoreboard is there to remind you of what happened. Next to that scoreboard, there's a game clock. That clock is to show you how much future remains in the game, and it gives you something to hope for. Think about this. The choices that the coaches and the players make in the now are all based on the past and the future. I mean, if the coach sees that Jordy has beaten the coverage every time, it's going to affect how he decides to run the next play. His understanding of the past, his knowledge of the past, his memory of the past is going to help him to see into the future as to what his next step should be. And he'll make that decision. Okay, hang in there. Let me give you another example. Inspired by Amy's message last week. Think about a song or a melody. The only reason that we recognize a melody is because we aren't just living in the moment. We are remembering what we have heard, right? And then we have an anticipation of what is to come. So, for example, sing along with me if you know the song. Twinkle, twinkle, little star, how I wonder what you are. Exactly. You got it. You see, you were able to continue on. You had a memory of the past, and then you had an expectation of what was going to come next in that remaining part of the song. And we could probably still continue to go on because you've got a good memory, right? Now, here's why all of this is important. Because your life works that same way. Your life is not merely a series of disconnected notes. And as I've often said, life is not all about you. There's a big picture. There's a big picture. And for the church has a 2,000-year history. And the people of God, we call them Israel, the people of God, they have a 4,000-year history. And if you don't have a sense of that history and a sense of prophecy, well, then you don't understand how to live in the now. You don't know how to make the right choices in the now. As the people of God, we have a history. It's in the Bible. We also have a prophetic future that's also in the Bible. So I can remember our past, talking about as a church, global church. I can remember our past and I can remember our future, or I can look forward, I can imagine our future. And that puts the whole concept of church in context. Without understanding that past, without the hope of a future, what we're doing here is just not all that meaningful. And the same is true for your individual life. See, God is a composer, and He's making your life, and if we want to put it that way, and it is your sense of memory and your sense of imagination as you look at your past and your future that come into play here. See, when you recognize enough notes, you'll begin to put the now into context. And then you can get a sense of the melody of your life, and you can see that it has purpose and that it has meaning to it. We live our lives almost entirely in memory and imagination. This is especially true in the emotional realm, whether you're joyful or depressed. See, we have to have healed memories and a hopeful imagination in order to be happy. And when I'm talking about healed memories, again, don't go off on what you think I might be talking about. I'm not talking about you have to have a group of people that gather around you and pray for those bad memories to be healed and to go away. That's not what I'm talking about. So let's talk about healed memories. A huge part of your life is your memories. How many can agree with that? I'm getting to be an old guy. I got a lot of memories. You know what that does? It makes me pretty darn good at Trivial Pursuit. I get together with a group of young people, and just because I don't necessarily have that great a brain, I just have been around long enough that I remember those things that they've never even experienced. And so Trivial Pursuit becomes better for us old guys and gals. It just works that way. I was at a dinner with some folks in one of those restaurants where they have the little game, that trivia games that go up on the screen. And everybody there that was with me, this was a work-related thing. Everybody that was there, my co-workers, were all much younger than me. I was probably at least 20 years older than all of them. And they never looked at me as a particularly high intellectually kind of guy. But man, I cleaned up the board with those guys in Trivial Pursuit that was playing up there. It said, well, I remember that. So, you know, they go, how does he know this stuff? Well, be around 60 years or so, and you'll know a lot more than you did at 20 or 25. It's a good thing. So where was I? Yeah. So we have to have healed memories and a hopeful imagination to be happy. See, because a huge part of our life is the memories that we hold, and the older you are, contributions to your important those memories become. See, you're always making contributions to your memory bank. So the older you are, the more contributions that you have made. And if a person is full of painful memories, it's hard for them to be happy. The most painful memories, I think, are the memories of rejection and failure. Every one of us has painful memories. But we know that Jesus is the healer. And Jesus can heal your body, and he can heal your soul. How does he heal those memories? How does he? Is it that group that circles around you and they won't let you out until you say, "Oh yeah, I'm healed now"? No. And we don't heal them by erasing them. Okay? He heals our memories by taking the sting out of them. He heals our memories by taking the sting out of them and then placing them in the context of the larger picture that ultimately has a happy ending. We're not going to just forget all the bad things that happened in the past. No, we're going to place them in its proper context in the larger picture. See, he heals our memories first by taking the sting out of them. And nothing more painful than, say, the death of a loved one. But the Bible says that for believers, there comes a time when we say, "Oh, death, where is your sting? Where is your sting?" I remember, well, it's not like this is a hard thing for me to remember. It's just not too long ago. Our son and his wife had a miscarriage. And the baby was 6 months along when the miscarriage took place. And so it was a pretty hard thing for them to take. And we went to Ohio and we attended the funeral. And the preacher there, their home church, did a great service, a great funeral service for this unborn child. And here's what he said. One of the first things that he said was, the child's name was Ezra. He said, "One of the things that should comfort you is that knowing the first time, Ezra opened his eyes, he saw Jesus." That takes the sting, a lot of the sting, out of this thing we call death. He can take the sting out of a painful memory and then place it in the context of a larger story that in the end is a story of victory. See, we don't call a sad story sad if it ends happily, right? We determine the feeling of a story by how it ends. So if the story is all happy, but it has a sad ending, we go away thinking, "That was a sad story." But if the story is all sad up until the end, when it finally everything turns around, then it's a happy story, right? So Jesus heals our memories by taking the sting out of it and placing it in the context of a battle that we are going to win. We will win. Even if our story has sadness, it's going to end happily. Now, we need our painful memories to be healed, but we also need a hopeful imagination if we're going to be happy. Remember, feelings are important things. Just don't base your life only on your feelings. But they are important. They are important. We live our lives almost always in memory and imagination. So we remember the past and we imagine the future. So right now, I want you to just take a moment and I want you to remember last week. How was last week for you? Yeah, oh boy. Last week for me, it was a crazy, terrible work week. finished, but then I got a four-day holiday time off. My wife and I, we went up into the UP, and we went and hiked and saw historical things, and we ate food. I gained 3 pounds, and I turned the alarm off on my watch. I slept like a heathen. There was one day I didn't get up until 7:30. I'm telling you, I had to repent. I normally get up at 4 o'clock every day, Mondays, Sundays, doesn't matter what day. But on this vacation, just because I wanted my wife to be able to sleep longer, because I worked her pretty hard. She put in all the miles hiking those trails and stuff. So, that was last week. It was great. Good time. Now think about next week. Oh, back to the grind. How many of you were dreading going back to work? See, it works better if you have a hopeful expectation. Going to be things that were piled up for me on Tuesday, and I know that this is our busy time, and so everything is just crazy, and we can't keep up. You know, I'm happy when we get done, and our inbox only has, you know, slightly less than 100 still to be dealt with issues. So it's been that kind of a week. But I'm looking forward to the opportunity that I have to really shine at this job that I have. This is where I can do my best work when everything is going crazy, because I'm the guy that stays calm. I'm the guy that doesn't get ruffled. I'm the guy that really can take care of work and get things done. So I wasn't, you know, just thinking, oh, I hate to go back to work. Now, if I could have stayed another week up in the AVP, I would have done that, but they don't pay me to do that. All right, so we can imagine, think about this, as you think about next week, we can imagine the future in one of two ways. We can imagine it with worry, or we can imagine it with hope. We can imagine it in such a way that it produces dread and anguish, or we can imagine it as something to look forward to. If we're going to be happy, we have to have a future that we're looking forward to, not dreading. Let me say that again. If we're going to be happy, we have to have a future that we are looking forward to, not something that we are going to be dreading. Proverbs 12:25 says, anxiety in the heart of man causes depression. Anxiety in the heart of man weighs down the soul. If we are anxious and we're dreading our future, that is a worry-framed imagination. And it'll be impossible to be happy. And we will be depressed. We don't want that. See, imagination is a legitimate way of knowing the future. And it's more spiritual than you probably have thought. In fact, if we put it in spiritual terms, instead of saying imagination, because I know I'm sure some people are feeling a little uncomfortable with this imagination stuff. We're talking about your vision. We're talking in a spiritual sense about your vision of what your future is going to be, what God has shown you in His Word that gives you a vision of hope and understanding for your future. That's what we're talking about. And hope is the way that God has given us in the way of imagination. Your hope is really imagination. Our past is fixed because, you know, it's already happened. You're not going to change that. And although we can relate to it, it can change our past. It can change by Jesus changing the context, right? How many of you had a difficult time in your life? Don't want to go back there? We still remember it. But God can change it, because in Romans 8:28, what does Romans 8:28 say? And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. That'll change the context of the difficult times that you have gone through. Good. For your good. So Jesus can change the context of our our unfortunate times of the past by working all of those things together for our good. Our future, though, is unknown, right? We've known the past. We've been there. Our future is unknown. The only way that we can know our future is by what I'm referring to as imagination. And by the way, having an imagination is part of being created in the likeness of God. Do you ever think about this? Your cats and your dogs, they don't have an imagination. They don't consider their future. Whatever is happening in the moment is all really that their life consists of. And while we were on our little vacation thing, we have a cat, Lola. I should have brought a picture of Lola. We have this cat, and she has been trained not to get up on the island in the kitchen. She knows not to get up there. But when we're gone, got a security camera, turned it on, and there was Lola just sitting there, looking around on the island like life was good. She wasn't thinking about the future. Whatever is happening in the moment for your animals, that's all their life consists of, but not you. We are different. We have, like God, the ability to imagine our future. And we have the right to imagine our future according to hope. God gives us permission because He calls Himself the God of hope. Look at Romans 15, 13. Now may the God of hope, that's our God, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. He wants you to abound in hope. May you abound in hope. I just declare that over your lives right now, because He is the God of hope. Why do we think that worry is legitimate and that hope is fanciful? Oh yeah, it's only reasonable to be worried because there's. Have you seen the news? Do you know what's going on in the world today? You know what the politicians are doing? It's something that for some reason we think that's legitimate to be worried about all of that, and yet to have an imagination for a good future, to be looking with an eye of hope to your future, is somehow fanciful. I think that's a lie of the devil. It's a deception. The promise of God for you is that the desert is going to blossom. That the lion is going to lay down with the lamb. The promise for God is, for you is that God is going to make everything all right. Now, some of us may be in situations at the moment where the lion is not laying down with the lamb. He's stalking and he's ready to pounce, or so it seems. And we may feel like there are no flowers that are blooming in our desert. If that's you, I want you to just take a moment and I want you to imagine everything is going to be all right. Everything, just imagine it. Right now, just imagine. If you've been worried about anything for the moment, just this moment, just imagine it's going to be all right. You can do this. It's free, no charge. Just imagine that financial situation getting right. Imagine the negatives turning into positives. Imagine your family members walking with Jesus. Imagine your employment situation just improving. Come on, imagine. Just imagine for a moment. He is the God of hope. Well, that's stupid. You just can't be imagining everything rainbows and lollipops and unicorns. And I would agree with that. You can't. You're not going to just imagine any old thing that comes to mind. You are going to put your focus on what God's Word says about you, what God has promised for your future. That's why we've put up some scriptures here that show you He is the God of hope that wants you to abound in hope. He is the God that is going to take those things that were difficulties in your life and turn those around for good. We're not just pulling stuff out of the air. We're basing these hopes our imaginations for a good future on His Word, what He has promised. And let me tell you, we have every right to frame our future according to hope, because God has again declared Himself the God of hope to you. He's promised you. Let's look again. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things... I know some people go, I don't know about all things. Nah, it's what the Word says. All things work together for good to those who love God, to those... And let's just stop there. Whatever the worst situation you've ever had in your life, it still applies. All things to those who are the called according to His purpose. Now, we live most of our life in memory and imagination. Well, then let's refuse to live in a world ruled by worry. Think about this. You know, first of all, tomorrow doesn't even exist yet. Tomorrow really is only in our imagination. So why not imagine it according to your heart's desire? Why not imagine it as we would hope it to be, based on the God of hope who is over our lives? Imagine it in a way that we look forward to it. Imagine it in a way that you are drawn to it. Are you drawn to tomorrow? Are you excited about what's happening? Are you excited about what lies ahead of you? There is a future. We can imagine that. And there is a future that, you know, of hope, but there's also a future that we want to avoid. But we want to imagine a kind of future that we just can't help but run to. When we look into the future, when we imagine our tomorrows, let's create it according to the way that we want it to be, based on the Word of God and the promises that He has made to us. And I get ahead of myself. Again, I'm not talking about dreaming up something fanciful, some crazy little dream world. I'm talking about creating an expectation of our future according to the promises of God, so that we move our life in that direction. See, it's the power of vision, to use the spiritual term. Imagination is more powerful and more spiritual than we think. It's a gift from God. He tells us the anxious, fearful images of tomorrow don't matter. Don't think on those things. Tomorrow is just really doesn't exist yet. I want us to look at tomorrow based on the promises of God, the way that we want to see it be, the way that it is a place where we want to go. And see, that's what the power of vision does. Our vision is our future, right? We are designed in such a way that we are drawn toward our vision. What we look at, what we focus on. Our vision is our future, and our vision is, in this case of the future, is what we will imagine. Somebody shared with me a scripture. Oh, I just pressed the button. That's not a good thing. Can't do that on the phone. I can do it on the tablet, but I can't do it on the phone. Let me see if I can find where I was in this message on my little tiny print phone. We can go to that scripture in Colossians. Let me see if I can get there. This was shared with me just recently. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. What are you focusing on? And that was the point of this passage being shared. What are you focusing on? Are you focusing on the power of the darkness? Are you focusing on the bad things? Are you focusing on what the devil might do? Are you worried about evil in the world? Or are you now focused on the Son in His kingdom, a kingdom of light? It all depends on what we're focusing. What are we focusing on? As the children of God, we have every right to frame our future in terms of hope. Now, there is such a thing as foolish imagination, right? And I've talked about not just pulling things out of the air and imagining all kinds of crazy things. We are looking and imagining based on what we know God's desire and His will, His expressed will that we find in His Word. In Hebrews 6:19, it says, hope is the anchor of the soul. Hope is the anchor of the soul. That's what's going to anchor us. In the storm, it's your hope that's going to keep you steady and stable. Let me begin to wrap this up because I'm actually getting longer than I wanted. Can you see now how we live most of our lives in our memory and our imagination? We live based on our memories and we live based on what we're looking forward to, because it's very hard really just to live right now. But there is something that belongs to now, to the now. You know what that is? I don't know why I thought someone would come up with this. It is faith. Faith belongs to now. Now, faith is. But we have to see how we get there. See, faith is the result. Faith is something else that belongs to now is choice. We know that we're living right now when we are choosing. If we're living without choosing, we are just observers. See, we can be remembering our past, we can be imagining our future, and simply be a passive observer. I want you to think about this. When we make a decision, we are actually living in the now, and we are doing something that matters. See, without choice, again, we are simply observers, remembering our past and imagining our future. But we faith people, we are not mere observers. We are beings created in the image of God. And we have the capacity to choose. We're living in the now when we make a choice. And that's why the Word of God says now faith is. Because faith is a choice. Faith is making a decision. True faith is never passive. It's always active. Much of what we call faith really isn't faith. It's just merely an opinion. Oh, I believe this. I believe that. I believe this. Here's what I believe. Well, that's really an opinion unless there's some choice behind it. True faith is always a decision that leads you to some kind of movement, some kind of action. That's why James says that without faith, works is dead. If faith doesn't have action, if it doesn't have some kind of corresponding response, it is dead, and it's nothing more than mere opinion. And that cannot change your life. When I accepted Jesus, I made a choice. I made a choice that was action-packed. It changed my life. It's why I'm here. I did something very simple, but very powerful. I made a decision that was backed by action. I want you to kind of think about your own life. That decision backed by action, that was faith. And the faith choices that I make today are going to determine where I'm going to be tomorrow. See, we live most of our lives in the realm of memory, which Jesus can heal in order for us to be happy. And we live our lives in imagination, which needs to be hope-filled and not fear-filled. But what belongs to the now are the choices that we make. And faith happens when we make a choice. Maybe This is where I just don't know where to end this thing. But I know that there are things going to happen in this church. There are things, opportunities that are going to come along very soon for many people here. And a lot of them make a choice. Or you can just be a passive observer. And a lot of people come to a church like this on a regular basis, and they are just passive observers. Opportunities come along, but they never make that choice. They never make a faith-filled decision to do something about it. Oh, they feel all of the same feelings that all of us feel when we talk about evil and righteousness and justice and godliness, but they never actually make a decision to do something about it, a faith decision. See, when opportunities are going to be coming up, leadership opportunities are going to be arising because this church is going to grow bigger and we need more leaders, we need more workers, we need more volunteers in every single area. You could just be a passive observer and say, yeah, we need that. Somebody ought to go out and spread the gospel and do some street evangelism. We need that. Well, you could just be a passive observer and recognize the need and not make a decision to do something about it. And some of you are not making that decision because you have a fear-filled imagination of your future. I will fail. I can't do that. You're not trusting God. You're not trusting God to equip you with whatever it is that is necessary for you to be a part of that. And sometimes you have to take small steps, but you can get there if you start taking steps. When I first made my decision to follow Jesus Christ, it wasn't to be a pastor. Here I am. Why? Because I kept making steps. I kept making decisions based in faith that was based on the vision that I believed God was sharing with me about my life, about my calling. Or I could just have been another guy sitting in the back of the church. See, the context that we have because of our past and our future is very much dependent upon what we do in the now by faith, by making a choice and acting upon that. I'm talking about a faith-based choice. Again, not just something fanciful, not just, I think I'll just open up a popsicle stand because that's what God wants me to do. Well, if he does, there's going to be some wonderful fruit. But sometimes, if that's your popsicle stand and really God has led you to it, but, you know, most likely that's not going to be for most of us. Most of us are going to roll up our sleeves when we see opportunities and we see God moving in ways that needs support from the church, from the body. And we're not going to be passive observers, right? We're going to have a hopeful expectation. Our hope is based on the God of hope who has promised. And we can see through prophecy, things are heating up. You know, the end time is coming. That ought to stir us to action. There are people that are needing to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and there are people who are needing to be ministered to, needing to be helped, needing to be prayed for, needing to be taught, needing to be discipled. You know, in this room, man, we could disciple a whole bunch of people because we've got some strong, very strong, serious Christians in this room. If you're not just going to be a passive observer. Okay, if I've made you feel a little guilty, good. It's not my intention, but I know as I'm saying all of this, I'm thinking, ooh, this is going to come across as a really tough message for some folks. But I just want to encourage you. You can hope for a better future. You can move forward with the right kind of faith-based decisions, deciding now, in the now, to see a future that God has planned and purposed for you. Amen? Father, I thank you for the message that you gave me for this night. And I thank you, Lord God, that you are the one who has given me hope. And that you are the one that we all can place our hope in. I trust you, Lord God. I believe your word. I know the promises that you have made. And I know that you will fulfill them. I know that you are faithful. And I pray, Lord God, that you help us all to get that sense so deep in our spirit that the devil has no opportunity to bring worry and fear and make us just sit on the sidelines out of that fear and that worry. Lord, strengthen us, enable us, and bless us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 I know there was some wading through that with me. I know there was some, thank you. But if it encourages you to think more about your future in the way that God has planned for it, and allow him to heal those past hurts that might have been holding you back, and maybe even making you fearful of taking another step forward because of something that happened in the past. Well, in the context of our memory and our imagination of the future, he can make that all right. All right. God bless you. Thank you for coming tonight. If you need prayer, we are the kind of people who have like faith for now. We'll be happy to pray with you. Otherwise, God bless you. You are dismissed. Go in peace. Your gospel washed me white. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, bless the Lord. Oh, my sin was black as night. Oh, bless his name. Another same.